Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. What if reducing employee turnover could unlock millions in revenue, and all it takes is creating true psychological safety? In this episode, I sit down with Francie Jane, founder of TerraWatt, to explore how group coaching is helping organizations scale connection, boost retention, and build cultures where people actually want to stay and grow. We talk about visibility all the time, but the truth is, it starts with psychological safety. When people feel safe, they speak up, take initiative, and show up with confidence and authenticity. That's when they're not just seen, but truly visible. And that's where lasting leadership and growth begins. So if you've been looking for a smarter, more human approach to leadership and growth, this episode's for you. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to introduce my guest, Francie Jane. Francie, how are you today?
I'm great, Tori. Thank you for having me on.
So we are going to dive into the conversation, and I want you to start off by talking about what inspired you to launch TerraWatt, and how did you first discover the power of group coaching?
Well, so I was inspired for TerraWatt because I started just understanding how many people in America were in the midst of career switches. And so there was a conversation in like a presidential debate, it's kind of random, but about how many manufacturing jobs have been lost and all these millions of jobs that have been lost over the past 20 years. And so I did a lot of digging to see, like, was that right? Is that true? And yeah, I mean, pretty much any time series, it turns out you want to look at, there's been a steep decline in manufacturing jobs because the peak for America was really 1944. So really, you can say any time series, there's been a huge drop in manufacturing jobs. So, but I was thinking, wow, well, if you think of a typical person working in a manufacturing job, that's not someone who went to college. And therefore, in colleges, there often is career services and they'll help people with, you know, job change or people post jobs on these boards for the college graduates, blah, blah, blah. But I know that doesn't, I mean, didn't exist for my high school. And I'm assuming it for many high schools, it doesn't exist. And so I was thinking, who helps those people? Who helps people who that career transition? And I couldn't find it. And I kept saying to myself, like, what's the Yahoo of career change? Like something that's not maybe like excellent, but it does the trick. You know, it's good enough and it's cheap, free. And I couldn't find it. And I was like, that's crazy. I was like, here we are in America. We believe in boom and bust. We believe in capitalism and we believe in change, right? But like, I can't believe there's no one out there who's helping people be better, you know, or helping find. And the real thing I kept saying was find like the joy in their heart, right? Like find like the perfect role. And so that was like got me started on this whole path. And it's funny because I'm not really like a tech person. I worked in finance for a long time. I went to business school. It was more just like I couldn't get this out of my mind. I was obsessed that like this is great. It's amazing. This doesn't exist. And I think part of the reason I got so obsessed with it is that like I've often switched careers. You know, like I've many times switched careers, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest. But I know it like freaks out people around me. Like family and friends will be like, "What are you gonna do now? You know, how are you gonna make this happen?" Like. And I was always like, chill, I'll be fine. You know, I'm just talk to a bunch of people and I'll figure it out. Yeah. And so then I thought, you know, I bet it's really hard, not in addition to like, just like no one's helping you, but also that you have people like actively like dissuading you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there probably aren't a lot of people who are like helping you create a process out of like what you want to do next. And that's really the role of coaches. And I know in my life when I feel like I'm, you know, I've had times when I've sort of been at a transition point, I've like reached out to different coaches and they've helped me set up plans. And I thought, you know, that's so valuable. Yeah. And like, you know, and like, what is the way we can make it more affordable? And I started trying to think about how I could commercialize this. I was doing all this research into which groups are career switchers. And so it was manufacturing workers who had to switch careers who are losing their job, or you know, either like job is being offshored or automation or whatever the thing is, or maybe just moving locations. And then it was people decommissioning from the military. And every year that's like 300,000 people or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's also a big cohort always of stay-at-home moms who are going back to work. And so I was thinking about those people and I thought, you know, on top of everything, they're not going to want to spend a lot of money. You know, it's not like they want to hire a one-on-one coach and, you know, spend $10,000. These are people who are looking at not having any income or don't have any now and want to have income. And so I thought, well, what if we, you know, get people on a Zoom and they can stay home, and especially if the moms, like if they have a little kid, they can stay in their house and do it when the kid's asleep, and they can split the rate of a great coach. And that was the original idea. And I had reached out to a coach who did a lot of career change stuff and said, you're like, would you be up for this? And the woman said, oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. And then I realized, oh, this whole thing can be a marketplace. Because I hadn't really thought about the coach's perspective of needing leads. And so that's where we are now. So it's a marketplace. It's kind of like Airbnb. That's like the best way to understand it. Like, you know, we just want to make it really easy to have lots of choice and find exactly what you want. And we generally lead with like, you know, what's your problem or what are you trying to solve? Or, you know, what's the issue, whatever that could be. And like, how do you measure that? And how do you set and understand what is steady state? What's it like now? And then how can you work on it and then measure it again to see what's changed or if there's been change or not? Well, that's our business. And really like the North Star is just, you know, helping people like be great at their job and at life and just be better, but in an affordable way.
What I love about that story is that out of a need or seeing that there was a need, you created this whole opportunity for not only coaches, but for people needing coaches. And so it's like the best ideas come out of, you know, our own experiences and identifying something that is not out there and creating it. So I love that, you know, people like you, you know, find those needs and create those opportunities because it's so dynamic for all the people who are going to benefit, which is just, you know, unlimited at this point.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's really fun about it too is that most of the executive coaches are these different experts we have. They want to be like working with people, right? They don't want to be marketing themselves. So it's like such a great symbiotic connection because they're like, please bring me leads. And I'm like, great, please bring me expertise. I don't have any content. So for me, it's like wonderful that there are people who want to do this and it just works so well. It's like a really nice combo on that side.
Yeah. And so it's funny tying that into visibility. The coaches need visibility, right?
Yeah.
And you are bringing them the visibility that they're looking for so that they can use their expertise. And so it's like this whole ecosystem that works together, which is a beautiful like combination.
Yeah. And exactly like you were saying, you know, one of the things I'm like so proud of is that it's really like we're threading a needle and we're helping three different groups solve their problems at once. And it's just one website, one product. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we have different websites and we'll say different things, different people. It's like, we say the same thing to everyone. It's super transparent. We just want everyone to like, you know, the philosophy of the rising tide lifts all boats.
Absolutely.
Right. And so we're just trying to like make it better for everyone. And, you know, and like you said, like visibility for the coaches, but also, you know, visibility for the person who's hiring us, like making them look good, or visibility for the employee. You know, how can they raise their hand and want more, you know, want more professional development, want to do more, want to go further. And not everyone wants that. But if there is somebody who wants to like do more and learn more and be more, like, then that's an incredible opportunity for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about like the coaching like format, I guess. Like, do you see a lot of group coaching with like multiple employees, or is it more one-on-one executive coaching? And how does that differ? What do you see the most of?
Yeah, I mean, our pitch pretty much is like, listen, you know, we will find you a coach, whether it's one-on-one or a group. But we make our website open so you can find great coaches and just hire them for one-on-one work. I mean, we're really in this for the affordability, you know, and like the scale, right? I mean, what we want to, what we kind of say is we think we can help organizations bring psychological safety to their employees in scale. And that's been like this big, what's the word? You know, it's been something that hasn't been accomplished yet. But people talk about it, and everyone knows that high psychological safety in teams is what drives, you know, revenue, profitability, everything in organizations. And depending on your metric, right? If it's a hospital, it's like patient experience, low error rate. If it's Google, it's like high revenue, you know, virality, whatever, all the different, everyone's different for what their data, you know, metric is for success. But the idea is like efficiency comes from high psychological safety. And everyone knows about this, and not everyone knows, but like, you know, it's out there, it's in the world, but people haven't figured out how to bring it to organizations at scale. And so I think that group coaching is a way that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. And the other beauty of group coaching is the collaborative aspect of it, right? Yeah. One-on-one yes. coaching is amazing because you get individual attention and then you work on specific things, but there's also something that is really dynamic about a group coaching situation, because you get that one-on-one, you know, interaction with the coach, but then you also get to learn from everybody else in the room, and you start learning and growing together. And especially if it's a team, like that team bond just grows so much more because of that connection and environment that you create for them.
Yeah. Sorry. My dog likes to be loud. Yeah, 100%. And initially when I came up with it, it was that, it was like the math. It was like, okay, we're going to divide this rate by the number of people. It'll be a lot more affordable. And what I really didn't spend a lot of time I hadn't realized until I got into this more, was like, yes, 100% what you're saying. Like, there's like a whole different way of learning when you're in a group than when you're one-on-one. Yeah. And, you know, what I always say is like, if you're doing one-on-one coaching, that's going to be different from group coaching, like primarily because the intimacy's like, dynamic is really different.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's different, though, is like when you're a group, you realize like all these internal thoughts you have about the world or your situation, it's likely other people have those internal thoughts. And it turns out you're like, oh, right, we're all just humans. And like what I'm thinking is not specific to me. It's just like a thought that humans have, or it's a, you know. And I think that like when you have that kind of thing going on, you're like your empathy develops. And I think you get better at communicating with other people and connecting with people, because you start to realize like in the end, like we're all not that different. The other thing that's really different is that in the group setting, like I said, you know, you lose out on intimacy and like your specific issues, but you gain in like, it ends up being like the trade is for almost like goal setting, you know, like everyone's kind of working on a goal or working on some sort of change or metric. And it's less about you individually and all my attention being on you, but it's about us as a group working on our goals individually and like having like, you know, pacing partners or, you know, colleagues who can help us like practice.
Now, I'm sure that ROI is always a big conversation when you start with, you know, bringing in coaching into probably like a larger business, right? Because larger businesses are usually like ROI driven. How is this investment going to return? So how do you combat that conversation and show the value while meeting those expectations and helping them understand those measurables?
Yeah. So what's really cool is that human capital investment is one of the highest ROIs like out there. And we have some incredible case studies, but it's, I think unless you're like in the world, I don't think you realize how high of an ROI is. And in fact, like one of the things I like to talk about is that I think you can put human capital up against any IT investment, any R&D investment, you name it, and human capital will be higher. And so what I'm always saying is this needs to be something that CFOs are looking at as like, you know, company-wide investment and the investment dollars. And it's not just like an HR thing. It should be like the company. Because in the end, like the biggest line item for most companies is salaries, and that's people.
Yeah.
And so if you're spending, that's what you're spending the most on, like, how do you make sure like you're developing those people and they're working to their greatest efficiency? You know, they're being developed and growing as much as anything else that you invest in. So, I mean, just for like, here's a crazy case study. So one of my coaches, who is super cool, and he's like developed content and all sorts of stuff, and his content is called Opposite Strength. And his content was bought by a healthcare system in Colorado. It was 4,500 people, employees, and they're in like, I think, Colorado Springs, which is a smallish town in Colorado. It's not the biggest in the state. And they had above average employee turnover. So like average for hospitals is like 20% has turnover rate, meaning every year, 20% of their employees leave. And they were at 24, meaning it was worse, right? It was worse for them. And so they were like, this is concerning because we're in a small town. You know, it's hard to get people to move here. It's not like we have this huge opportunity of like the existing people who live here. And so they decided to invest in psychological safety. And so they did a lot of group coaching, was opt-in with this coach's like content. And what they saw was super cool. And they're able to like reduce employee turnover every year by 1-2%. And by year 9, they're still doing this thing. It was like group coaching, you know, opt-in, all stuff. The CEO was involved. And by the 9th year, they got to 4% employee turnover. And that's an incredible drop, right? Which is great. And then they started winning a bunch of awards for as like a hospital that was like really like great with the metrics and efficiency and all this stuff. And then it turned out that the difference between 24% employee turnover and 4% employee turnover, that was $32 million a year.
Oh my God.
So they were spending a lot of money in recruiting and on training and who knows what else, right? Temporary workers.
Yeah.
And so when everyone's like rocking and rolling, they're happy, they're efficient, their psychological safety is high, they have tons of excess cash, and they can now switch from being defensive to being offensive. And they can say, okay, for $32 million this year, are we going to like build a new facility? Are we going to give people raises? You know, you can decide, and you can, you know, whatever you want to focus on for your organization. And that's like a different good problem to have. And I think the other thing is, I always ask this coach, like, what even they spent, right? And I think it was something like less than $500 a person on this stuff. And so it's not even like they're spending $1 million a year to save $32 million. You know, it's much, much, much less. And one of the reasons it was so dramatic for them is that hospitals are particularly hierarchical. And I think they have particular problems. Hospitals typically don't provide management training for their employees. It's really just science and math, like, you know. And so it turns out, you know, we're all dealing with humans, and humans are different beasts than facts and data and science. And, you know, it's helpful to understand humans and how they think. And so I think all of that came into play. But I think about that all the time. And that's really an incredible example. But that was very specific to them. And I think that's also what's cool, is that it doesn't have to be using this one content, like Opposite Strengths. There's so many ways to work on psychological safety. And it doesn't even have to be that much spending. I mean, there are a million books about it. And so it's really doable for organizations to get on the sort of path and help pull stuff out.
And that's, like you said, an incredible example of ROI.
Yeah, it's a crash. And I think he calculated it's only like 32,000% or something. It was an absurd number. You know, you're just like, oh, I don't even know if that's a real number. But, you know, it's just crazy high, you know. And I think that even if they had gone to let's say 18% employee turnover, that would have been a big impact for them.
Yeah.
And so it may not always be that everyone's going to have such a dramatic change, but it never hurt. It's like, there's no downside, you know, to increasing psychological safety, and it's not that much money. And especially if, you know, you send people to conferences, it's a drop in the bucket compared to a conference cost.
Yeah. And how do you continue to build and grow that bench of coaches, if you will, that you guys have on staff? How do you make sure that you have the right people in place for the opportunities that come your way?
Yeah. Good question. So, I've really built this for coaches. Like, it's barely, it's meant to be like high in psychological safety, but also like a lot, we lead with trust and we lead with treating people well. You know, we're not trying to take advantage of anyone. And like, and that structuring really helps, because one of my jokes is like, you know, the executive coaches are like, you know, like negotiating ninjas. Like, they know every which way they get, you know, they could be like, you know, screwed over. And so you can't do it, so don't even try. And then, but you know, also like in my heart of hearts, I don't want to be doing that. You know, I just want to be like starting a business where like they're happy and I'm happy and they stay, you know, because to build a marketplace, you have to have people stay and then more people come. So the whole thing, like from the beginning, was, okay, well, how do we make this attractive for coaches to want to stay? So that's the first bit. And then a lot of people I know from college, actually, as we've gotten older, have become coaches, executive coaches. And so those were like my initial people that would reach out to friends I knew, who I knew were approaching and saying, hey, I'm starting this marketplace. And they give me a lot of advice about what they wanted and what they would be willing to do. And then what's happened is it's like semi-viral. I mean, the good coaches just recommend other good coaches because they care about their reputation and they only want to have like good people around. And I also make it really important that like anyone who's on the platform has a really good heart and they're interested in helping people. And like, you know, there's no like get rich quick stuff. There's no, there's nothing yucky. Everyone has to like have like, everyone has to like have their heart in the right spot. And I spend like at least an hour with every coach. And then we do a criminal background check. And one thing I'm really proud of is that, you know, we don't have an academic requirement. Because if you're talented, you're talented. And so you have something to share that you think more people should hear about than like, I want you. You know, it's not like, hey, you have to have these requirements and then that's great. Because there are plenty of people that have degrees and things who aren't great. So I'm not going to make an artificial, you know, hurdle just for the sake of it. And so, and we've gotten a lot of super interesting coaches that way. Because they're just doing stuff that's like different from other people. And that's what's interesting. It like provides a diversity as well. So you have all different kinds. And so if someone's looking for something really specific that we don't have, then like my joke is like, I'll send out the bat signal and we'll find it. But usually the problems are a little bit more, you know, like they're not hard to diagnose and supply, you know, proposals for. So like right now we've got like, we have like 80 on the platform and another like 10 coming in who've completed onboarding. And, you know, usually you can get enough proposals that the buyer is like really happy with what they have to choose from. Yeah. But, you know, if someone needs something super specific, like we had one time, we didn't actually end up having this proposal, but someone was looking for like neurodiversity coaches.
Yeah.
And I was going down this path and I was like, okay, we're going to have to find a few more, because I had like a few in the platform, but I wanted there to be more selection. We ended up not going forward with that, but like that would have been an example of something that we don't have a lot of, but I mean, we could definitely find one. And so that's sort of how I think about it. Like, it's not, I don't think it should be hard, because people should refer, you know, again, like we try to lead with trust and like collegiality, and you know, so that it's not like coaches don't feel like competitive with each other and stuff.
I think that's the best, like you talk about building a team in a collaborative environment. Like that's exactly what you do internally. So it's a great way to lead by example, for sure. So let's wrap this up with, there's a business owner out there who is looking to be more connected or collaborative with their team, but they don't know where to start. Like what's like the starting point for them to maybe realize that they need coaching or find that opportunity to get to this point where they can, you know, build a business through that?
Okay, so that's a great question because I just gave a presentation on this. I was just pulling out this one. I know it's for it. And so it's super interesting. So here's some examples that might be helpful and people can like, you know, think about it if this resonates with them. So when psychological safety is high in an organization, you have innovation, you have efficiency, you have good conversations. When psychological safety is low, the effect is reduced productivity, a high number of sick days, and an atmosphere of tension, silence, and blame. In addition, when psychological safety is low, the impact for individuals is they quit or they experience burnout. I think that's really, really interesting. And I was just told about a book about talking, it was called like the villain game or the blame game. And I was laughing because this whole description of like what can happen in this like this dynamic in organization is basically exactly what low psychological safety is, where you're always blaming someone else for your problems. And there's someone in the group who's become the person who like needs to be blamed or shamed or whatever. And yeah, and what it really should be is more like everyone's putting their ideas and they're saying, okay, this problem happened. How can we go forward and not have this problem happen again? And we're all probably at fault for this. So let's all come up with a solution and move forward and just like, you know, rock and roll instead of, Sam, you did a crappy job there. Like you're in the doghouse this week. You know, I mean, that doesn't help anyone. And then it's also like, I don't know about you. I'm like, it makes me so tense, like hearing that kind of thing. And I just, you know, like I can't work in an environment like that, right? Where someone's just belittling people and making them feel stressed. Because in the way I work is like, I would always rather work with someone who's like growth mentality, like, you know, how do we do better tomorrow? Because that to me is exciting and interesting and like you have to be creative as opposed to like, you did a bad job, you're a bad person. You know, like you can't like come back. I think it's just so demoralizing. So anyway, I think that's what I'd say.
That's fantastic. I think you're so right. Understanding those, not breaking points, but like indicators maybe of like when you need to start going down that conversation or the opportunity or, you know, looking into those types of resources is huge to have in your, you know, in your brain as a leader, you know, when you start to see these patterns. So I'm excited that we're sharing this because I think people don't realize that they don't know what they don't know. And so when, you know, when we're able to present a opportunity or resource, that's the best thing that we can do.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. And I think the other thing I was thinking about visibility is another angle of psychological safety. One of the things that happens, right, is in a group, there could be people who are really quiet and they don't speak up. And I think true psychological safety gives those people the ability to speak up more. Because their perspective is as important as the loud people. And sometimes it could be more important because they might be saving you from the groupthink. You know, the loud people might have a groupthink thing going on. And the quiet person's like, well, have you considered X? And everyone's like, oh my God, I just never thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes good products and good solutions.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, it's been so like inspiring to hear these conversations and like what you're building and how you're building it. I'd love for you to share how people can get in touch with you if they're a coach, maybe looking to join your roster or companies who want to learn more about the opportunity of finding a coach. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, the best way is just terawatt.co and we have a page called Get in Touch. And there's a way to just set up a 30-minute call with me. That's the best. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. And as a result, the Terawatt page as well. That's my main sort of social media. And those are probably the best ways. I mean, I also would just say to people, like, you can do it yourself too. You know what I mean? Like, you could probably buy like a great book about psychological safety for your team. Right. And you guys could all practice it together. So it's not like you have to hire someone fancy to do this. It could be nice and fun, but I would love to 100% love to do it. But I also like to talk to people about how you could do it on your own for like, you know, $15 a person if you're buying Google books.
Yeah.
You know, it's available to everyone. It's out there.
Yeah. Depending on your situation, there are resources out there and that's just the biggest thing, is helping people where they are, meeting them where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like, and maybe everyone reads the book and they're like, wow, it'd be so cool to have an expert come and talk to us now that we like all get it, you know, or we have questions. Like, that's actually really valuable use, right? Because then you have time to like reflect on it and you think, oh, what would I want now? And I want to go deeper. That's super cool.
Yeah. Well, Francie, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been fun to learn from you, share your stories, share your insight, and have all the listeners learn more about you and Tara Watt and everything you guys do.
Thank you so much, Tori. It was a real pleasure, and I hope that everyone gets the light shined on them and their visibility increases every day.
Thank you so much.